Be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted high, be lifted high, be lifted high. For your glory, be lifted.
King of all the ages, you're the King of all the ages, you're the author of salvation, you're the reason why we're singing for your glory. Lord, release the sound of heaven, let it rise in every nation, we will join the anthem singing.
Good morning, KKXX listeners. Welcome to Christ Today with your host, Curtis Smith. Hey, everyone. How are you today? We have a special guest in the studio. I don't know where I found this guy. I looked all over to find someone just to be on today's show, and somehow, someway, I found this guy. He's a tall, powerful, bearded, blonde Viking. Hey, Larry, do I have to say all this?
Of course. This program is about grace. You're supposed to minister grace to me, remember, Curtis? Oh, boy.
So, Larry, you're a Butte County Christian artist. What does that mean?
Well, Curtis, I thought you'd never ask. It means that I have, of course, a Christian perspective. Like, for instance, as an artist, Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which ministers grace unto your hearers." Well, I change that. Let no corrupt artwork proceed out of your hand, but that which ministers grace to your viewers. So
I understand.
Try to do a good job and make people look really nice and good.
So in essence, when you do a portrait, you seek to flatter them.
Well, yeah, I do seek to flatter them. I know we're all subject to vanity, so I would give you, like, for instance, Curtis, more hair. And so, you know, I believe I should make people look good from the outside, and God should be the one who makes people good from the inside.
I couldn't agree with that anymore. Isn't that what God's supposed to do, make people look good from the inside?
Yes.
Where have you found the Lord in your daily walk?
Oh, that is a good question. I wish I could humbly say that every day I find the Lord, but I find that it's in exact proportion as I humble myself and I'm actually seeking Him. I find Him in any circumstance, in situation, activity, when I have the expectation for His promise. And I guess that's the result of prayer. I find the Lord particularly at my church, Evangelical Free Church, where I talk to the Lord before the service, and I find that He meets me in my thought patterns whenever I throw out to the Lord, and I share my heart with Him, how I want to really praise Him or really minister to Him, and how special He is to me. Then He seems to meet my request, and I end up having tears in my eyes.
So are you saying if we go to your Evangelical Free Church, we will experience the Lord?
Yes. The true church is the Evangelical Free Church.
He's just kidding, listeners. Just kidding.
No, maybe I'm not. Up in Paradise on Pence, Pastor Art Worthington. But I actually, in all seriousness, wherever you go, whatever place you're at, it's the form. And I believe that when we speak like the truth of our heart, we supply the substance to God who moves us into close communion with Him. I remember years ago being in the Air Force, and I ended up attending several different worship services. And I found while, you know, one place I'm singing, "A Mighty Fortress is Our God," the Lutherans, and then I'm going to a Catholic or a little bit more lively music. I went to all the different church services, and where my spirit was directed towards God, I had no problem entering into these different forms of worship because I supplied the spirit that was obviously filling my soul and touching God. I believe the true church is the ecclesia. It's the body of believers when we all individually and corporately worship God in spirit and in truth, then God can meet us. His presence can actually come and invade us. We're humble and we're really seeking the Lord. That's been my experience.
Do you have an experience you would like to share with the audience, Larry?
Yes. For example, at the Evangelical Free Church, before the service, and I know this may sound kind of goofy, but I told the Lord, this service, I'm holding on to your leg just like a little child does. I'm not letting go. And Lord Jesus, if I embarrass you in front of all the angels and host of heaven, I don't care. I'm holding on to your leg and I'm not letting go. And I ended up in my spirit feeling like I was just holding on to the Lord's leg and I wasn't going to let go for anything. And I love the Lord and I was holding on. And I was actually moved by this experience. I had ended up having little tears in the corner of my eyes. Of course, emotions don't necessarily mean the truth of an experience, but it sure helps. So after the church service, I ended up at 1:30 going up to Magalia to a trailer park to join a little ministry team. And guess what happened to me there? A little boy named Cody, who I had taken to Vacation Bible School, he grabbed a hold of my leg and didn't let go during the whole ministerial experience while I was up there in Magalia. This little boy, I couldn't shake him off, and I couldn't help but get the overwhelming impression that God was saying, right back at you. And I believe God has a great sense of humor, and he ministers to everyone according to their own uniqueness. It's not like one shoe fits all. Like in the past, I've tried to present the gospel in such a way that was very wooden and mechanical, legalistic. We all know what that's like. And
yes, we do. I've been there and experienced that myself. And for listeners that don't, we'll get into that.
So I've experienced the Lord in a really unique way. And I'm convinced that God meets humble folks in their own particular way, like I've said. And you probably want another story, right?
Well, before we go there, we were talking about legalistic. Would you like to kind of dive a little bit into what legalism is for those that may have a hard time understanding what we're saying over the air?
Well, legalism is simply like the word without the spirit. Like you present things in a way that's mechanical, and it's not relying upon the Holy Spirit of God to quicken things and make things alive. It's like Curtis here is unique. If I was trying to reach him with grace, I would want to know a little bit of his story, his background, like a good missionary. I would want to tailor the gospel. The truth never changes, but I would want to tailor my gospel message that would say in his spirit, aha, that makes sense. I understand that. And I believe the way the Lord works is he does the same thing with each of us individually. He tries to bring about circumstances, events, and people that reach our hearts. And he's doing that wherever you're at. If you're at the university, if you're a student doing your homework, or you're driving, or you're in a restaurant, or whatever, God is setting up circumstances to reach you in particular. Yes. With his gospel message, the gospel of truth. And legalism is simply doing things in a very mechanical, knock, knock, knock. I have something to share with you. I am not a zombie. I have the truth. Listen to me. No, it doesn't work that way. God wants us to be real hurting people. We suffer discouragement. We never know when our testimony's on the line, and God can use our humanness. We're just being really truthful and honest. Would you say that covers
it? You said
it?
Real hurting people, but you mean people with real emotions. He doesn't necessarily want us hurting, right?
No, but he may have to hurt us to get our attention. Okay. If you don't think God hurts you, say, hey, God, if you need to get my attention, kick me upside the head. Because God will do what you say in a real strong way.
He does God, that, yes.
What?
He does that.
God loves us. And if you care about someone, he reveals himself in a very truthful manner too. The Bible says the Lord reveals himself full of grace and truth. Well, the truth is that if I really love Curtis, I would show him grace. I love him at all times. And then the other part of this is faithful are the wounds of a friend. It means if he's doing something off the wall, I mean, I should address it if I care about him. Otherwise, he's an acquaintance. And I admit fully on the air, I have had some acquaintances that have gone 20, 30 years because I've never addressed the truth of their doings and their actions. I preferred to show love and soft pedal what they were doing, and that's just not right.
But we're called to give soft answers and to love one another. And the only way we can love one another, audience, is through Christ loving through us. And grace is unmerited favor. Grace isn't something we earn. It's something we don't earn. But we also have to recognize, too, that God does move upon our lives. He does give us the ability and the thoughts and the things to say, the things not to say, and gives us understanding of what we want to do as we desire how much he loves us to please him. Would you not agree with me on that?
Well, I would throw in a little bit of a twist here. You said unmerited divine favor. That's how everyone knows grace. Yet the Bible actually says in 2 Timothy 2:1, it says, be strong in the grace which is in Christ Jesus. While we come to the Lord as a result of his grace, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, grace is something we continue in by deciding to be in grace. And you might say, how in the world can somebody be strong in something that you can't merit, that's from God? That's a good question. This problem is solved when you look into James and says, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And so when we lower ourselves, we make ourselves a candidate for God's grace. And Curtis, is it all right if I tell a little story I had in Hawaii?
Go ahead. That would be awesome for the audience, listeners.
Okay. I decided in 30 minutes to leave with my girlfriend at the time for Hawaii. Real spontaneous move. I end up going to Kona, the YWAM base that was located there. And I found out from her that they needed help in the kitchen. This is the beginning of the base, and before hundreds of students show up, they don't have any volunteers or anything. It's just the staff, and they were very shorthanded. So I prayed, and I decided, Lord, I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you my strength. I'm going to work mightily as unto you in the kitchen. And I had a good attitude, and I'm not bragging or boasting or anything. I went up there, and when I showed up, they said, oh, we were praying for someone to work in the kitchen. Well, the kitchen is usually the last place you'd expect God's grace. It's a place everyone lives to get outside those swinging doors. Well, I went in, banged pots, pans together, just really had a wonderful time working, cutting bread, just doing it in a quick manner and just a joyful attitude. And if there was any blessings in that kitchen, I absorbed them. I had a really good attitude. We had another meal where they were shorthanded before they got this. When the students were coming back, I ended up volunteering again, and I experienced his wonderful grace. And there's a famous little pamphlet. It's called Practicing the Presence of the Lord by Brother Lawrence. And it's a 16th century monk, French monk. And he talked about where he experienced the Lord the most in the kitchen, where it's super noisy. Pots and pans are beating together. There's all kinds of things and distractions. But he found the love of God and his grace, his favor, you know, feelings of great joy in a place where you wouldn't expect it. And I found that in Hawaii when I volunteered and I gave myself to, you know, some lowly task. And afterwards, the YWAM base commented on my attitude, and they wanted to understand why. And I ended up writing a little poem and drawing some cartoons about my experience. But God meets people in the humblest of circumstances, and he shows himself really strong. And so that's my little Hawaiian.
So Larry, let's kind of talk about what got you started in the business of being an artist.
Well, I started at a very early age, about in the first grade, my teacher, Mrs. Cole, held up my art to the second graders and commended me. And ever since then, I've gotten my strokes from being an artist, doing something really well. I don't think I was particularly a real smart kid, but I was talented. And I remember in high school, I walked across this field and I said, it's just kind of a prayer, I want to be the world's greatest artist. You know, when you're in high school, you say all kinds of outlandish, arrogant things. And I said that. And then years later, I end up going back to the high school, walking the same field. And I said, Lord, I countermand that request with now a prayer to you. Lord, I want to be your godly man. And that's made a world of difference. There's millions of really well-talented artists out there. And I don't receive my identity as you do not receive your identity from your work. You may be known for your work, for your talent, for your education, but we are really known before God for our history with Him. And His history, you break that down, it's His story, and it starts with us giving our life to Him and accepting His grace. I believe God's grace is extended to every person in the world, and we have the choice. At the sound of this broadcast, within a minute, you could be translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You accept God's grace, and there's nothing you can do or anything. He's done it all because, you know, as Curtis and I both know, Jesus went to the cross. He canceled sin out for us. He paved the way. The Bible says, while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. God gave His marvelous grace through Jesus Christ. And then because Christ lives, because He rose from the dead after the third day, we too have the promise of His life, of Him living within us. So if you're feeling really meek and poorly today, or you're just, God, where are you in my life? Well, God has to have you dial Him in, just like a radio station. He's full of grace and truth. You have to turn on the dial of humility, and God, I want to know You. Come into my life, make me a new person. And He hears humble folks.
I would encourage the listeners that if you don't know the Lord, it's easy. You don't have to run to an altar and say a big repentant prayer, cry out your eyes and cry out a bunch of tears. Just receive Him into your heart. Just accept what He's done for you and believe in Him. It's not based on works. It's not based on self-efforts. It's based on what Christ did at the cross. And when God looks at you and me, He looks at what His Son did. Like Larry said, Christ settled it all. He took care of it at the cross. So the encouragement to you folks is to know that you are in Christ if you receive Him. But that's not what this show is about. This show is about what God has been showing in Larry's life through His artistic work. So we want to continue to have him talk more about what God is doing in him, with the gifts, because we want you guys to be encouraged with his what he does as an artist.
Okay, what I do as an artist, I really super enjoy being an artist. I do portraits, I do people's faces, and I do high school graduations, and I really enjoy drawing people, and I draw them in the image of God. That's the way I see them. People are endowed with inherent worth, and I seek to capture them and put them in the best possible light. So I'm a friend if you're an ugly person.
Don't go there.
Oh, that was bad. Okay. But make people look beautiful. Make people see people the way God sees them. Anyway, so I do portraits, and I also do pastels. I love going into the woods and just being really quiet. And I usually get very good results, and I create the artwork in quiet, and it's very peaceful, and I usually get dynamic results, and I'm really thankful to God that, and I'm evolving in my philosophy and my way of doing art all the time. I'm open. I look at really good examples from other artists, and when they do really good, I acknowledge their work. I don't try to see things in a jealous light, but try to learn and have a humble attitude. And I'm also a cartoonist, and I started that in high school, and I know how to draw Walt Disney cartoons, and I have a background as an art teacher.
Give us a voice, Larry. Give us a voice.
A voice? Okay. Okay. Like.
He's trying.
Oh, Mickey Mouse. Okay. Oh, boys and girls. How's that so far? Okay. But I also do a great Rocky. Hey, Adrian! Adrian! Hey, I'm going to bounce my ball anywhere I want. You know, if I want to bounce it in the studio.
Not in the studio. Get out of here. Get out of here, Rocky.
Anyway, the point is we can have a great time. We can laugh. And we can, enjoy life and experience life fully. And God's not a killjoy. His thing is real sensible in the scripture. Love one another. The greatest commandment is, as I have loved you, so love one another. You know, as I've shown love, you love other people too. Let other people come alive. There's no hierarchy in the body of Christ. It's our headship is all the same. It's Jesus Christ. And all of us need to find our part and fully work and express ourselves. We need each other in the body of Christ. And when all the parts of the body is expressing itself, the body is built up in love.
That is so true. I wouldn't agree with that even more. The Bible says that wherever two or three are together there he is in the midst. And it also says that a cord of three cannot easily be broken. It also says that two is better than one. And so it is better to have unity in the body of Christ. And that's one of the things that we're missing. And Larry, I kind of liken that to artwork. When something's missing, that you want to really bring out your painting and really make it look superb or
dynamic
to the audience. How do you fill in that missing part, or how do you bring in that missing ingredient that could make the picture be what you want it to be?
Well, sometimes I'll use my imagination. I have a definition for art, and it's skill, design, beauty, and a message. And I try to work out of that. And then new ingredients are like imagination, creativity. And so when I paint a really good picture, I might sink in like Indian teepees or a fishing weir in the river. I want where people have a sense of the story of their lives, that people can, in their mind, go back in their imagination, what was this like? What did this look like? And I do sometimes buffalo paintings. You know, what would the sunlight look on thousands of buffalo? What would it like to see that a herd of buffalo with the dust piling up, the thousands of hooves pounding your way? And what would those animals look like? And they actually run like a piston up and down. You know, if you study a buffalo, they actually go up and down, and you have the light and shadows on their hide. And to me, it's just a real incredible visual experience. And so I like going back into time and then recreating with the truth elements of what's there, the actual scenes where they went across the prairie, seeing the action of horses going across, seeing the dust kicked up. So I try to incorporate a lot of truth. And then, of course, grace would be the story. So I fill up a story full of grace and truth. Does that make sense?
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I hope the listeners out there are able to follow us. So at this time, we would like to talk about, Larry, about how you got started in doing window paintings and stuff, how that came about.
I got started in high school. We had a contest. I got third place. My sister Barbara got second, and Mike Method, an arrival sign painter, he got first place. So I've always enjoyed using a foam brush and twirling it around and making things happen. And it's kind of a medium that I'm very adept at. And when you're skilled at something, you naturally feel pretty good about it, and you're confident, and you can branch out into other areas of expression. And And I always felt like you develop an area of strength by skill, which is, to me, successful repetition. Skill being a successful pattern. A pattern repeats itself. And if you're out there and you're a budding artist, you take some lined paper and you draw circles and squares and you practice and practice until you get good. And you feel good about yourself, too. And you're not creating something really weird and then end up saying, oh, this is the way I felt. You know, well, you can feel kind of weird and make some weird things, and you can always go off on your feelings, but you want truth. You want your artwork to express skill, and that means proper shapes. And so that, as an artist, I do people's portraits. I really seek for accuracy.
So give us some truth in relation to how it applies to your artwork.
Give us some truth as it applies to your artwork. Okay, well, if I drew Curtis, and by the way, it just so happens this is the weirdest thing. I have drawn his mug about 4 or 5 times.
Drink coffee. How could you draw my mug?
And he's okay, he doesn't I didn't draw his coffee mug. I drew his drew his face. I've drawn Curtis several times. He has a very interesting face, and he looks at people very intently until you're almost embarrassed.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, well, somewhat. But so I've drawn him a few times. But I try to draw people like a man, handsome, you know, making look. It's tough.
Thank you.
But and then a woman, try to make her look like an alluring angel. I almost said sexy angel, but I didn't. But
that
it's almost a contradiction in terms, but try to bring out people's qualities. A woman wants to look womanly, you know, and soften the lines. A man wants to look strong, make him look vigorous, strong lines.
Like a giant.
Just make people look good. So as a Christian, that's how I see people, how I incorporate truth. I incorporate the truth of how I see God in their nature. God wants men to be men. And women to be women, soft and gentle. And so does that make sense?
So go into some truth of how God sees you and how God views you, even when you don't view yourself the same way that he does.
Oh, boy. Well, I think God sees us in our best possible potential. He sees everyone in terms of what he can do through them. God wants to, he can take someone that is really, feels pretty poor, maybe doesn't have a job, doesn't have nothing, everything's knocked out from under you, you're just floundering, but God can lift you up and he can put your spirit in him. If you were a drunk or you're an addict or whatever, he can give you new desires, a new nature, and he can make you a trophy of his grace.
So you would say, Larry, that God can take a mess and make a masterpiece?
A masterpiece, yes. God is the violin tuner. You've heard that famous song, the old violin, how much does this go for, once, twice? And it was real, you know, they were practically giving it for a song, pun intended, this old beat-up violin. And then a man raised his hand, he came forward, and he tuned the violin. And he played a beautiful melody, and then pretty soon the auctioneer saying, what do I have for the violin? 1,000, 2,000? Going once, twice. And afterwards they said, well, what made the violin so wonderful? The touch of the master's hand. And that's what the Lord Jesus does to each and one of your lives.
I was getting ready to say that he does tune us, and he's tuned me in a lot of areas of my life, even just recently. But Larry, let's talk about something he's done in your life recently. Let's talk about something that he has showed you, or a way that he's revealed himself to you that has brought out something about yourself that maybe you didn't recognize until now.
Well, I'm pretty gentle, pretty kind, and I'm automatic, you know, like a giver. If someone on the street, hey, $2, $3, $5, whatever. And I've realized that if I spend a little more time with people, I find really where they're at and what their real need is. And I'm not for professional panhandlers. I've come across the scripture. I know why Christians give, and it says in Matthew chapter 5, it says, give to him who asks. And if someone wants to make a loan, give. But I've also read where Paul says, be not deceived by empty words. Empty words are lies. Be not deceived by empty words. Because of this, the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. So if someone has a scheme, or spend a little time with them, Paul said in 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he addresses idlers, and he says, if a man will not work, he should not eat. And he says, follow my example. My examples, I labored with my own hands. Christ put out, he did things for people, and Paul put out too. He worked, he didn't make the gospel of any charge, and he labored with his own hands, not being in bondage to any person. He didn't want any stumbling block. If you're a Christian, you should be, and you're really seeking to work, to milk the Christian community, something's wrong. You don't have a Christianity that's real. You should be ashamed, you should be embarrassed, and you should be seeking to pay off or to work with your hands. And anyway, I'm being a little bit strong, but sure, there needs to be a little umption in our gumption in this department.
That's true. We need to be truth, careful what we do.
Grace. Jesus revealed himself full of grace and truth. And even speaking this way, I know that we are all to be compassionate. We are to be full of God's compassion, reaching out to other people. And having said my mean spiel, I'm, it's how the Lord leads you. Maybe the Lord might lead you to give unconditional grace to someone to wake them up. And I'm not going to judge you for that. I'm just throwing in my two cents here in just being wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. And I hope that makes sense to you.
Makes a lot of sense. Another thing that my friend Larry does here, not just art, he's heard a lot about his art, but he does gold panning, gold mining. And, you know, something that God sees us as a gold. We're precious silver to him, or it's gold to him. We're valuable to him. And Larry, how has the gold mining or gold panning in your life, what has God showed you in processes of doing that? Maybe bring that out to the audience a little bit.
Okay. Thanks, Curtis. In gold panning, there's a diligent search. One of the problems with finding gold is the search is very involved. And then finding the gold, then you're forever searching for it in that place, whatever. You can end up spending a lot of time. And if you knock the L out of gold, what do you have? You
God.
Have God.
Oh,
and
that's good.
God wants us to really be focused on him. And the scripture says that our faith is as gold, and gold is extremely precious. It doesn't lose its value. It stays the same. It's extremely durable, but it's also extremely moldable too. An ounce of gold can be beat into a fine wire 40 miles long. 40 miles long, I'm not exaggerating. It's extremely pliable. And God wants our Christian life extremely pliable too. You know, preciousness of gold, it's all the vessels that of the temple were of gold. We make ourselves vessels of gold by deciding to be full of God's grace, to be full of his holiness, and to live the Christian life with his help. Or we can be vessels of wood, hay, and stubble. It's our choice. I like looking for gold. I don't want to be possessed by it, though. I want to be possessed by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So that means everything in perspective, everything in its moderation. You don't want to be controlled by anything. Anything that controls you, you are in bondage, like the nature of sin. Sin is addictive. It puts you in bondage. It hardens your heart. You become really thick and ornery, and you end up having maybe a religion according to your desires, not according to the Word of God, not according to the truth, not as God would have you. God wants to break every bondage in every man's life, and we are to submit to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, and we get along with one another. Real peace comes by doing things God's way. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. That's a scripture in Isaiah. Anything else you'd like to say?
Well, I mean, we still got time for listeners. Right now would be a time that we would normally ask for call for callers, but this is our first show, so we won't have any callers today. But well, I don't know, just what else is on your heart that you'd like to share? Maybe bring a little humor in. Maybe
okay,
whatever you want to bring in.
All right, I would like to end with a song. You ready, folks? Cheer up, you saints of God, there's nothing to worry about, nothing to make you feel afraid, nothing to make you doubt. Remember, Jesus never fails, so why not rise up and shout? You'll be sorry you worried at all tomorrow morning. Oh, and by the way, I am a Christmas window painter. My name is Larry Foss. And what's my phone number, Curtis?
I don't know. Why don't you give it out?
It's on my hat, you dummy.
8724-ART.
Okay. Thank you, Curtis, for shameless advertising for me. Okay, I would like to share a little story of grace that I heard from my pastor, Art Worthington, from Evangelical Free. And this story was told recently, and it was in the context of the Jesus Revolution that took place in the 70s here in California. And the story, as I best remember it, is a long-haired, bearded hippie came into a packed, seated congregation. There was nowhere to sit. And this hippie was kind of wandering from aisle to aisle and, you know, kind of good-natured, but looking for a place to park himself. All eyes were on this man wandering down this long aisle. You know, and there he is in his beads. And I can't remember if he was barefooted or if he was wearing sandals, but he was all in his hippie glory and he was seeking to be in the church. Everyone's eyes were fastened on him and they watched as the head usher made his way to this lone hippie. Would he ask him to leave? Here was a critical moment in this collared conservative church where men commonly wore jackets and ties. He approached the hippie. The hippie looked up and smiled. The head usher smiled back and promptly sat down beside him. Needless to say, this church had a thriving ministry because one man set the attitude with his display of grace, the wonderful grace of God that is extended to every one of us in whatever condition we're in. Praise God.
How can we be demonstrators of that ourselves without doing it as a form of works or coming at it from an attitude of law? How can we be demonstrators of it ourselves in the world that we are in today?
I believe we should have the expectation. And what is faith? It is an expectation that God is going to use us to extend His mercy, His hand out to other people. And we have the ministry of reconciliation, not counting people's sins against them, but
so true, amen.
But reaching out to them and with the love of God, welcoming to the family of God. All of us have this ministry. And doesn't this make sense? I'm not saying something weird to do. I'm not asking you to do anything. There's no works here or attending my particular church or give money or anything. I'm not pushing anything but the love of God, which makes sense. It's reasonable. And it's the way we're supposed to conduct ourselves to every person. And it's not because I say so. It's because this is God's will. This is God's plan. Behind our words is God Himself. He set up the plan. He manufactured a certain product. It's called a human being. We're created in His image. What does that mean? We're made in the image of God. We have infinite worth. And we're to extend grace and worth to others because we're made in the image of God. Now, does that insult your intelligence somehow? That's pretty reasonable to me. I'm Mr. Joe Christian. I know everything by God. you who are evolutionists, you're everything except God. What a horrible negative thing to work from. You know, nothing given enough time creates everything. No, it doesn't work that way. Nothing is nothing. There is a loving designer. You have every cell of your body. You have, 3 billion bits, billion with a B, bits of code information, a blueprint made by a master blueprint maker. That's logical. It's reasonable. It makes sense. It's in every cell of your body, whether you like it or not. It's a loving designer. Can you say intelligent design 3 times? Intelligent design made by an intelligent designer. Praise God. This makes sense. It's not weird. I do design work too. If I handed a proposal, oh, how'd this come together? Oh, it just was on my desk, and after a couple of weeks, everything came together. You know how ridiculous that sounds? I do artwork. I do designs. I do cartoons. I've done an animation before. I could put life into some things, but it's only as far as me, the creator. It's only as far as my input. With God, his input, he's the richness of his grace. He pours into every person. He wants himself fully known in every person. But we open the door from the inside. If the doorknob is on your side, you open yourselves up to God. He doesn't force his way. God is a perfect gentleman.
Well, that's really good. And once again, we've been talking about grace today and about art and about Larry's experiences and about what Larry's been through.
Okay, I have another grace story, and this is a wonderful story of, I believe it took place during World War I, and it was between the Americans and the Germans, and they were battling over no man's land, and the crack of machine gun fire is going off intermittently throughout the day, and in the midst of no man's land, there's the cry of a wounded man, a German soldier that's wounded, caught up in the barbed wire. And he's tangled hopelessly in the barbed wire, and he's crying out. And all day long, the Americans and the Germans have to listen to the cry of this poor man. An American soldier, without permission, crawls out from the trenches, makes his way to the German soldier, and he's spotted by the American side. They stop firing their weapons. He untangles this German soldier and stands upright with him and walks back with this wounded German soldier to the German trenches. He brings him back. He turns around to go. A colonel, a German colonel, grabs him by the shoulder, twirls him around. The American is startled. He doesn't know what to expect. The German colonel takes a medal of valor that he has on his own chest and puts it on this American's uniform. And the American walks back to the American side. To me, this is an incredible picture of God's grace. This man took his life in his hands. He crawled out. He saved his enemy, stopped his suffering in the midst of a brutal, nameless war. No subjectivity about it. It was both sides trying to kill each other. But here's this American soldier, an unknown American soldier, crawls out there, gives up his life, but he turns out he wasn't killed. He redeems another man. This is a picture of God's grace. You risking your own neck, extend favor to another man.
Giving us what we don't deserve instead of what we deserve.
I hope that in my life I show the courage of this American soldier, that I reach, try to save other people too from themselves. A beautiful picture of the grace, wonderful grace of God. Left his comfort zone, left the place of complacency, crawled out in a rough place, could have gotten a bullet from either side, but did the work of Almighty God.
That's what's so amazing about his grace. It's amazing. We don't think about it. We sing about it, but do we really understand what we're singing when we sing? It's amazing. It's amazing what he did for us, even when we didn't deserve it, right?
Yes. Yeah. When we don't deserve anything, God, but God. God comes on the scene and he lifts us up. And, you know, I think of Psalms 107. It says, "Oh, that men might praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men." And when people are down and imprisoned or, they're really beset by distressing circumstances, they cry out to Almighty God, and God hears them. And when God does hear you, don't forget what he did. Don't be complacent and go back business as usual and just shrug things off.
Tell somebody, and be sure you tell somebody.
Yeah. And one thing, remind yourself of that God is a loving Heavenly Father. And he extends his hand of grace to you and to your neighbor too. That neighbor full of wickedness and anger that you want to rip their head off? No, they need the love of God too. And when you show grace to them when they don't deserve it, you're actually showing forth the grace of Almighty God.
It's funny, I heard a minister one time say, bake a loaf of bread for someone that you don't like. Isn't it amazing if you do something for someone you don't like, how you might end up liking them after all? But we're glad that you guys listened today, and we do want to let you all know that, you know, it's not about what we're trying to do to prove. It's about what he did. It's not something I have to try to make happen. He makes it happen, as I understand it. He's inside of me. He's living in me. And, you know, if you don't have him living in you, ask him. Just say, you know what, Lord, I need you. Ask him to reveal himself to you, because just like Larry's artwork, it's amazing what God will reveal if you ask him. Am I not right, Larry?
Yes. Of course, some people ask me for signs, and you know what I tell them? A wicked and perverse generation seeketh after a sign. Anyway.
We're not wicked and perverse. Well, the world's wicked and perverse. No, we're believers in Christ. We're not. But you know what? I still love to see signs. As a matter of fact, you should see some of Larry's signs that he paints on walls and windows and on people. He paints on people. Can you believe that? He paints on people.
I'm into signs and wonders. I do the signs, and then the other stuff,
he begins to wonder about it.
They wonder about it. Oh, by the way, my wife, by the way, is involved in 40 Days for Life, and she just really puts out the challenge, and to anyone who's a prayer warrior, to go to Planned Parenthood on Cohasset and stand with the team, be with other people in a peaceful prayer vigil. They pray for the women, they pray for the workers there and the people that view this, that it would be uplifting and pleasing to Almighty God. They want to honor the Lord, but also say, hey, this isn't quite right. You know, we're made in the image of God. People have infinite worth, and we want to do things God's way.
Can people join in and get involved too? And if so, how? No, but if you want, you can give him a call, and he can give you more information. Matter of fact, you could probably tell some artistic stories about your wife, couldn't you?
My wife is very beautiful. She's very patient and kind, very gracious. When I'm bragging about my artwork in Paradise or wherever it's at, she's very gracious to me and tells me, Larry, you need to refrain from exalting yourself. So if I get a big bubble head, my wife is there to pop it. You know, I'd like to say on the idea of being a bubble head, it's very easy to be puffed up in your talents, in your scholarly pursuits, in your education, in your knowledge of how to do things. It's easy to think, oh, I am indeed the person, and with me wisdom rests, and I am the most exalted person, and other people are lowly and no good, and et cetera, et cetera. There's easy to make, to develop walls in your own head of your own superiority. And God
Once again,
wants
we're
us,
getting back to the works of the Christian instead of the grace of God.
God wants us all to be on the same playing field. That's the praying field. On our knees.
Like,
we're all the same height, same level. We're all dependent upon God. This is the way it should be. And it makes sense, overwhelming sense. I don't believe that Christians have to say, that they have a fight with their brains or anything. Christianity is very sensible. It's very practical and very helpful once it's understood and practiced.
Yes, practice. But once again, we can't do it. It takes God in us as our life, doing it through us. We can be open to desiring for Him to have His way in us, understanding what He's done for us. And that can be expressed a lot. And it should be expressed today with us amongst unbelievers, because we don't want to be trying to perform for them, but we do want to let them know that we love them. And the only way we can do that is by the grace of God. Would you not agree with that?
Yes. And the grace of God is sometimes doing someone's dishes, helping them, lifting up a chicken coop. For example, this past week, I had a brother named Paul, which Curtis knows. He had a heavy chicken coop that we had to lift from Oroville, put on a trailer, and take here to Magalia to the delight of his chickens. The weather was raining. It was very cold. And we told him afterwards, when we successfully got this chicken coop delivered, that please remember his foul weather friend.
Foul weather friends. The good thing they didn't have a foul meal that night for dinner, right?
Anyway, but we are to prove ourselves foul weather friends in distressing circumstances, to be really learn to be helpful, to meet pressing needs, and to be useful, and just to be real servants. We experience the Lord when we put ourselves on the line for other people, and He'll bless us and make Himself known to us. We can be complacent. We can watch video games, watch TV. We can do all kinds of things, or we can study the Word of God, and we can seek Him, and we can pray. And the Bible says, pray without ceasing.
I believe I do things because it's a choice, it's a desire. I understand what God did for me, I understand the work that He's done in my life, and I want to do what pleases Him. So the choices I make, I believe, are, as I understand and I desire to please God, those choices come from my own heart. He's not
putting a trip,
making
a
the
work
stuff
trip.
That I do happen, but He's putting it in my heart, and that comes from Him doing it in me, and that's why I say that He lives in me, He's my life, because the things that glorify Him, I want to be demonstrated to the people. So I might do something that I may not feel like doing. Like Larry does a lot of artwork he doesn't feel like doing. He does work for people he doesn't feel like working for. But at the end, he's amazed and they're amazed at what he did for them. And he's had a lot of experience. You might want to call him and talk to him. But once again, we're at a point where we need to say goodbye. Have a great day. Thanks for listening in. And we hope to talk. I hope to be on the air with somebody next week as well. All right. Bless you guys.